Hey everyone, my name is Mike Vaughn. I'm a writer and content creator at GVN. And I am so excited because I am talking to the director of Skinamarink, Kyle Edward Ball. Thank you so much for joining me. So first off, again, congrats on just how well the movie's been doing.
Yeah, thank you so much. It's been incredible. It's been a whirlwind.
So it's kind of funny because I was like thinking about how I got to review this. I believe it was for Fantasia last I guess summer. Gosh, time is not a thing anymore.
July 2022.
Oh yeah, okay, yep. And it was one of those movies that, like, you can tell it was something special. Like, I very much got this kind of dark fairy tale mixed with a little bit of Kenneth Anger. Which is so awesome because I'm a huge fan of, like, Ken Anger. I'm so jealous. A friend of mine, like, has known him since the 80s, like, personally.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. First off, the visuals are so alarming and very creepy, and I was like kind of wondering, like, if you could talk about the challenges that the visuals were, just from like a technical standpoint, as far as like shooting it in low light or sometimes just like by television light.
So shooting it was actually quite easy because cameras have gotten so good that we could under light quite a bit without stressing the camera too much. The hard part was in post-production because it's 4K digital footage and I had to make it look like footage from the 70s. And it was a challenge because originally I was going to do a rough cut without making it look or sound like an old movie. And I found fairly shortly as I was editing that that would be difficult because I needed the mood to be present to cut it properly. So instead, I started making it look old and sound old as I went. So to make it look old, I had a package of super 8mm film overlays that I'd been using for years. And they're really good assets. I highly recommend. But as I was editing, I found that I couldn't just put one overlay over the film and just repeat it. I needed to play with a bunch of different colored overlays. So I had about 40 different film stocks that I had to change depending on the mood I was conveying or even the lights that was present in the frame. And then in real time, color grade it after the fact too. So the tricky part was really that, right? Doing everything at once. So I had to cut, do sound design, color grade, apply overlay to make it look old, and play with all these things at the same time for the editing to really flow, which is why editing took 4 to 5 months. Shooting it was a breeze, but editing it took quite a bit. Yeah. And then as far as the look outside of that, there was a little bit of challenge with getting the house to read as a house from the 90s. So we did some set deck, but a lot of it was taking things away. So even stuff like the picture frames that my parents had in the dining room, I had to remove because they just read as that, like as 2000s. Or even they have like a stained glass light fixture in the dining room. And I had to remove that because it just, even though it's stained glass, faux stained glass, in theory, it would read as any era. It just felt like something you would get at IKEA in the 2000s. So I had to remove that. So there was a lot of stuff as far as set deck of getting it to feel like a 90s house. But shooting it was not that hard because, again, cameras have gotten so modern and powerful. They see almost better than we do in the dark.
Yeah, that's really interesting. And I think I read that this was shot in your family home. Is that right?
Yeah, I was shot in my childhood home, the house that I grew up in and that my parents still live at.
Nice. Well, what did they think of the project?
They were super on board and super accommodating for everything. And I think seeing the movie blow up has been definitely a neat experience for them because, like, it's just neat, right? They're seeing their son slowly like have his dreams come true in real time, right? So that's been exciting.
Now, speaking of like childhood, I'm like, this whole movie is about like, distilling that fear of being a kid, which I think you do perfectly. Like, what were some of your childhood fears, if you don't mind my asking? Like, what are
Yeah.
some of the stuff that really,
I was afraid of the dark a lot as a kid, and I was afraid of other kids because the other kids were mean. Like I would say those were my two biggest fears.
Yeah, I mean that's I feel like that's pretty classic. Like I feel like that's something a lot of people can relate to, and I think that's kind of what is so again impactful about this movie is I think it like really accentuates that, but in a way that just feels like I think I said this in my review initially that it's one of the movies that really feels like a dream. And I know that sounds very cliche, but there's like it's so hard to pull off like this kind of dream logic, just like a whole stream of consciousness put on film.
Yeah, I wanted to play with the idea of I wanted the characters to respond to things relatively realistically, and I wanted them to talk and engage with each other in a realistic, almost Cassavetes-esque way. But I wanted the movie to feel like a little kid describing a dream they had, like we woke up and all the doors and windows were gone, and then we dad was gone, so we went downstairs and watched cartoons. And then I went upstairs, and then I came back downstairs, and then I heard a voice. And then there was a chair on the ceiling, and then this happened. And that, like, I wanted it to feel like a little kid describing a dream they had. And yeah.
Yeah, and I feel like that like totally nails it. Now when I was talking about the visuals, I wanted to also kind of move to like the amazing sound design. And I was wondering if you can talk more about like kind of what went into like designing the very unsettling sound of the film.
Yeah, so we recorded all the dialogue as ADR, so just microphone to voice versus recording it when we were shooting. And then once I got to editing, I found a library of old sound effects from the 50s and 60s that were up for public domain. So that was kind of a treasure trove that I stumbled upon. And then as far as making it sound old, I spoke with my friend Tom, who is kind of an audio guy, about how to make it sound really tinny and old. So he helped me set up a series of presets to make the audio clips sound old. And then as far as the bed of the audio, for each scene, I have a hiss and hum. So a hiss track and a hum track. And for each shot, I would use it as kind of room tone. So if I wanted to imply, oh, time, it's a few hours later, or we're in a different mood, I would, different room, I would literally use it as room tone and just play with that instead of actual room tone to indicate time has elapsed or setting has elapsed. And that took up a lot of time too. I would say I may have spent as much time actual cutting or getting the look as I did for audio.
Wow. And I also believe I read that this was like done in about a week. Is that right? As far as shooting goes?
Yeah, we shot it in 7 days, 8 days if you count the camera test.
Nice. Again, I think I read that it was like a $15,000 budget, which I think's really incredible. This kind of segues into like a larger thing that I think is really interesting that I'd love to get your input on. I'm kind of seeing this like indie boom of horror movies, kind of akin to like the 90s when we had the explosion of these like amazing indie directors. What do you think about the, like this sudden like surge of these indie horror movies, and of course you're a part of that, like really kind of taking off and going kind of mainstream?
Yeah, so I think it's so during the 80s, towards the end, as far as not horror movies, but just mainstream movies, people had gotten kind of sick of seeing hyper processed stuff over and over again. So the age of sequels and remakes and this and that. And then in the early 90s, we had the indie Sundance explosion, right? And then we had years of cool movies again. And then as of late, we've come back to that. A lot of the formulaic, like superhero movies, not that I hate superhero movies by any means, like there's plenty of great cinema that fall under superhero movies, but there is a lot of rehashing and a lot of the same movie over and over again. And people were starting to feel more and more like they're spoon-fed. And so we've had an indie resurgence, I think, again in the horror sphere because horror lends itself to the indie world so well. So, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I kind of love how we're also in this time where, these really talented like genre directors like James Wan and Anna Wingard are getting kind of like recognized and getting chances to make like tentpole films. If you were given a blank check to make anything you wanted, like what would your dream project be?
I probably would still make a relatively small movie because I don't want to make a big budget movie. I want to make little movies because I think they're scarier and I think they're funner to work on. Like, I've more or less ha I swear I've had meetings with almost every big production company as of since the movie has blown up. And I've had a lot of like Hollywood's essentially come knocking, and I've had substantial talks with a medium-sized production company. But I still just want to make littler movies. Like I think my next picture, realistically, it'll probably be like more than $1 million, right? But I don't know if I'd be good at doing a big budget horror movie or any movie because I don't know if I'm ready for that yet. I want to do things in steps. So my next movie is going to be bigger budget, but not like $50 million, right? And I like working in smaller movies. I think the audience can intuit sincerity, and I think you can lose that a lot of the time with bigger budget movies, with exceptions, right? I would say Everything Everywhere All at Once had a ton of sincerity to it in spite of the big budget, right? So,
That's great. And I love how, I mean, that's so smart because I feel like most people, they're like, give me the $50 million budget right away. And, sometimes I think it's very easy to flame out when you do that. So, I mean, I love how, that's very sensible, that's very level-headed. So I know you can't really talk too much about like next project or anything, but
I don't even know what it is. Like, I had a few ideas, and then the more I told people about them, the more out of love I fell with them. And then I wanted to have already had started writing the follow-up, but because the release of the movie was expedited so quickly, I just haven't had time to think of the next one. Like, stuff's still fomenting, and now I'm getting the sophomore jitters of like, oh, how are people? And I never had this problem with Skinamarink because people didn't really have any expectations, right? So I was just like, okay, just make a movie that you'll think others will like. And it's hard to apply that to my mentality now, because now I'm conscious of, oh, this is my follow-up. This is my one to prove that the first one wasn't an accident, right? So all these other things are entering into it too, of like, oh, if I do something too similar to Skinamarink, people are going to say, well, we've already seen you do this dance before. And if I do something too different, I'm afraid people will say, well, we liked you for the voice you had in the first one. So, and I know this is an incredibly privileged thing to say, right? Like, I still think I don't think it's any stretch to say I might be the luckiest filmmaker alive at this very moment, but that's how I feel.
Yeah, I mean that it, definitely I can understand like how that could be such a weird place to be because again, you know, it's like you said you know want to do something that's true to you, but you know you don't want to stray maybe too far from what people are expecting. But I mean, I think that like you have great instincts. I think like just I think whatever you go with, it's going to be awesome. Like, you know, I definitely am very sincere when I say like I can tell when there's movies that are really special. And as soon as I saw your film, I was like, this is awesome. I gotta get in touch with this guy. I gotta like pick his brain a little bit. So
Oh, thank you so much.
yeah. And yeah, so that sounds awesome. Like I am excited for whatever you have in the works. And you know, just kind of like to wrap up, what would you want audiences to kind of take away from your film?
The end of the day, I just want them to have watched something that will stick with them, right? A horror movie that they'll be thinking of years from now, right? And whatever interpretation people have, or whatever the movie makes them feel, that is the correct interpretation and the correct feeling, because it doesn't matter what I wanted them to feel or what I wanted them to interpret it as, because it's not my movie anymore. It's their movie, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, again, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me. I will be sure to post a link of like where you can go out and see this movie, and I highly re recommend that you do. And again, thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you.